Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 8 of 60 Minutes With. I'm Dave, and for a change, I'm joined on an interview show by somebody else. Who could it be? Who's on the other end of this line?
Oh, I was going to do a Welsh accent then and pretend to be Ramrod, but I couldn't do that. No. Hello, it's Chris. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Yes, you were the perfect person, mate, to join me on this interview, because obviously it's video game related, and of course you're for those that might not know, you're the Same Coin gaming podcast that you're on.
Yeah, well, you did say that I'm the perfect choice, but because it's about video games. But people who do listen to The Same Coin will know that I know nothing, or I talk nonsense. So, I guess not that perfect. And also, we're going to be talking about sports management simulations. I also know little to nothing about those as well. So,
but in the interview that we've just done, you were educated, and in fact, you said on air that you'd be going off and buying one of these games when we finish recording.
Absolutely. And I am not just saying that. I will. I've already looked at it, but I thought this is going to be the perfect opportunity for me to ask Cole and Brad, will I be able to get into these games with, again, little to no experience of the sports or the type of game that they are? And the iOS version, the iPad and iPhone version, sounds like perfect entry level for, mm-hmm. for somebody like me, for a complete idiot.
So, listeners, what you're going to listen to now, you're going to listen to me and Chris having a chat to Brad Cook and Cole Hobson from Out of the Park Developments, and they're going to tell us about MLB Manager, which is on iOS and coming to Android. Also, Out of the Park Baseball, Franchise Hockey Manager, Beyond the Sidelines Football as well, all American football sport management games that are out. And it's some good chat. We learned some good things. As I say in the interview, I am so stoked for Beyond the Sidelines. But I've also dipped into Out of the Park Baseball and loving it. And I've got Franchise Hockey Manager to dip into as well. So yeah, I can see me spending some serious time in front of the Mac now, mate, with playing management games.
Thanks. Yeah, if you don't hear from Dave for a few months or a year, then you know why.
That's it. Yeah, it's send all correspondence to Out of the Park Developments, because they're to blame for my disappearance. So get comfortable, sit back, and get ready to spend 60 minutes as me and Chris talk to Brad and Cole. Right, Brad, Cole, can you tell us and the listeners to start with the history of Out of the Park Developments? How did it go? Am I right in saying it all started back in 99 from what I've read?
Yeah, late 90s. Marcus Heinsohn, who created Out of the Park Baseball, he got into baseball in the mid 90s. For people who don't know, he actually grew up in Hamburg. He grew up in Germany. He lives in Hamburg now. He's been there his whole life. And in the mid 90s, he had a neighbor who went on a trip to the United States and came back with a glove and a bat. And then that's when Marcus first discovered this funky sport called baseball. And what's this all about? And of course, that was the early days of the internet, so he could get online and see some early videos and things and kind of learn about the sport. He became a Red Sox fan. And since management games are big, have always been big in Europe, you know, he's talked about growing up playing them, and he has a background in programming. He decided to create his own. And so he released the first version of Out of the Park Baseball in 1999, and the rest is history.
So it was purely, was it then purely because you said they were so management games were so popular in Europe, that's what led it to be a management game rather than more of like an arcade type game then?
Yeah, I mean, as a programmer, and especially someone, you know, he's a guy who pays a lot of attention to all the little minutiae in baseball, you know, the changes to the collective bargaining agreement and how contracts work. And, you know, you hear about people talk about things like Super 2 players and all these kind of things, which he pays attention to. So, and that's what he likes. I mean, he didn't want to, there are lots of games where you can press a button to swing a bat or, you know, use your joystick to nudge a pitch or whatever, but he didn't want that. You know, he wanted to really dig into the nuts and bolts of the sport and kind of this idea that, you know, you're the GM of the team, you're running the team, and you're making the decisions, and, you know, and how will your team, you know, fare, you know, compared to real life.
I think American sports as well are naturally suited to management games because they're all stat heavy. There's so many stats that are constantly tracked throughout the game that it just lends to this sort of management style, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that completely. I mean, especially baseball, you know, with the rise of sabermetrics and, you know, what Bill James has done. We have a lot of the sabermetric stats in the game. Yeah, baseball in particular is a sport. You know, hockey is kind of coming along with some things like Corsi and Fenwick, some stats. I know there's a little bit of that going on with football now where people are coming up with some more advanced stats. But yeah, baseball is the kind of thing where they've got the head start in that area, I'd say. There are people for the last, 20, 30 years or more who've been coming up with all kinds of ways to slice and dice numbers and evaluate players and figure out the best way to look at them.
I can imagine. I can imagine that's incredibly difficult to do. I mean, I'm just thinking about it from the, you know, do you have a big team working on it, or is kind of Marcus, working alone, or how does that work? You know.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus started by himself, and he brought in Andreas Rott, who's the co-owner of the company. Andreas works on a lot of the online stuff on Isle of Park Baseball as well as other things. And he handles our accounting and things too for the company. So it was just the two of them actually doing the game for a long time, and it's always been Marcus taking the lead on what features we're going to do each year. And he's really good about that. He's very diligent, very focused, you know. And then over the off season, we brought in a guy named Matt Arnold, who lives in Toronto. He headed over to Hamburg for a few months. I think he's still there. Working with Marcus to get up to speed on everything. He's been working on Out of the Park 16 with him. So that's the first time someone else has been added to the team. I guess I should add Jorin as well, a 3D programmer who came on board for Out of the Park 15 to do the 3D stuff. For a long time, for the first, 14 versions, it was just the two of them doing the game.
Wow. Okay, has he got any hair left, or is he just completely grey?
he's got quite a nice head of hair. I was in Hamburg last June for our company meetings. He's got a lot more tattoos. He's a big fan of tattoos, and I don't know how I feel about me saying that, but he likes tattoos, and that's cool. And he's got quite the head of hair. He's kind of got the rock star kind of head of hair, I would say. He definitely does not have that kind of nerdy, geeky, like live in my mom's basement kind of vibe. He's a cool guy, I have to say. I'm not just saying that because he's my boss. He's a pretty cool guy, and he's kind of got a little of that rock and roll thing going on as a programmer, but. It's great working with them. They're a great company. You know, like I said, I was over there last June. I guess Cole will get a chance to maybe visit there sometime for company meetings, and we got to see the sites and spend some time talking about all our games and our plans for the rest of last year and this year.
So it started with baseball, and obviously there's the new one that's coming out later this year. And you mentioned the 3D graphics then being added in the last version. Was that something that there was a lot of player pressure from to add 3D graphics to it?
That's always been kind of a mixed bag for us. We added the 2D ball flight, so you've got the picture of the stadium, and then you see kind of the ball move across the screen. You can't see if it's in the air or on the ground. You just kind of see it move to see where it went. And that was added a few years ago, and there are people who on our forum who just say, like, I turn that off. I hate that. So they just, like, I mean, they just want, like, a text-based sim. We've got a great, really loyal fan base. They're all great people. Our forums are pretty civilized compared to a lot of places on the internet. They're the people who really will clamor for really specific things they want in the game, and things that they lobby for, which is great. There's a contingent who understands that we need to kind of move up with the times a bit and try to. Bring a little more of a graphical element to the game. I mean, I think someday, we want to get to the point where we have 3D players on the field as well. And I mean, personally, it doesn't need to look like MLB The Show, but I think it would be great to see a guy, hit a ball into the gap for a double, see him rounding first, heading for second. You know, if he's a speedy guy, maybe he turns on the afterburners, goes for third, see the throw, all that stuff. It doesn't have to be as splashy, but it would be fun to kind of watch that play out that's kind of where we're heading. And of course, we'll always, you know, keep our eye on the simulation part of it, and the management part of it, and the front office part, and making sure that that all that stuff is there too.
Yeah, because with these, it's always, we were talking before we came on air, weren't we? With these games, it's always, it really sort of stimulates your imagination because you get so deep into it with all the stats. And for me personally, we said it goes back to the Spectrum, and I used to play head coach on the Spectrum, which was about as basic as you could get it. But in my head, I was watching a proper American football game going on, and I was on the sidelines calling the plays, even though I'd have to write all the stats down on a piece of paper that was next to me. And that's what got me hooked on these type of games. Whereas you, Chris, you come from a different perspective, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think the last management sort of sim that I've played was Kevin Keegan's Football Manager. And that's going back way, way back to the old Super Nintendo and Amiga days. So I guess that's kind of an interesting point from my perspective, for both of you, you know, Carl and Brad, that how easy or difficult would it be for me to get into a game like this, you know, if I've got no kind of level of experience, I've never played one of these games before, or it's been so many years since I've played it. So how easy would it be for me to get into it?
Well, I've done a lot of talking. I'll let Cole handle this if he wants.
Sure. I mean, I guess it would depend on what your level of familiarity is with the specific sport. I mean, it's obviously a bit easier if you have a knowledge with the sport, but I'd say our games, generally speaking, they do have a bit of a learning curve, but that's a benefit because once you are kind of in there and used to the game, I mean, it has that depth to it. I mean, it's not, you know, you're not going to have a piece of paper to write down your stats because, you know, our games are going to have every stat that you could want and a lot of stats that you're not going to want. So, I mean, David was mentioning kind of the fictional aspect of it and creating your own universe. And I think that's kind of a big appeal to a lot of our games. I mean, maybe you don't know the MLB that well, or you don't know the NHL that well, or the NFL that well, but all our games kind of allow for customization, and you can kind of create a fictional world and make it as big or as small as you want, and make it in your hometown, make it with players and teams that you know and things that kind of are comfortable for you. And that kind of eases the transition, I think. And I know myself personally, I mean, when I play our games, I'm more of a fictional player. I prefer to kind of create my own worlds rather than kind of play in predefined NHL or MLB type worlds.
Go on.
No, I mean, go ahead. I was just going to say, I mean, there is a learning curve, and I think that's just natural for any game. I mean, but at the same time, there's also, you know, great community support, lots of people who are just starting out as well. So you can go on our forums. There's, you know, sections specifically for people who are new that can ask questions. And, you know, once you get going, I mean, I've been playing Out of the Park myself for over 10 years. So it's, to me, it's pretty natural. But, you know, there is time to get into these games for sure. Mm.
And so you mentioned there that you can create your own player, and but you can pick from a whole raft of players, I guess, from current sort of leagues and past leagues. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, in respect, all this talk in respect to Franchise Hockey Manager, I mean, our game has the current NHL rosters, and it also has leagues from all around the world. So, I mean, if you're a fan of, you know, the NHL, the AHL, Swedish League, any number of leagues. I mean, our new game's going to have 23 different playable leagues, for example, and 151 total leagues around the world. So if there's a specific league that's kind of your favorite, you can jump in and play that league, and it'll have all the players and all the teams that kind of our researchers have done all the work on to put together attributes and stats for. Or there's also, you know, the option to play in a custom world and with fictional players, so there's kind of no preconceived notions, and you can kind of create your own teams and create players that are kind of generated by the game engine, and things kind of develop organically in that way.
Mm. But you could take your own character, customize him, you know, take him through the, I guess, the minor leagues up to sort of the major and all that kind of stuff. You can do all that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, our games are more so on the team building aspect rather than a player development thing. I mean, you can create players and you can track them all the way through, but it's not, you're not so much playing as a single player in our games. It's more so kind of management of an entire team and an entire franchise in most cases. So it's more of a top-down kind of full approach rather than one specific player.
I think it's good as well you mentioned the way that you can customize everything. It's within these games, the thing that totally amazes me is just the whole level of detail and depth going into the stats side of it. I mean, all the stats that you mentioned, I kept track for you now, so gone are the days when I did have to write everything down on a notepad, thankfully. And whatever you want to check is there. And it was, I had a quick go on baseball, Out of the Park baseball, early on yesterday, and there was even little tiny details that probably don't mean much to a lot of people, but there was the very fact that when I could type my name in, okay, I'll type my name in, so it's me, I'm leading the team, I'll put my name, put my age down, and then I come to pick the country, and there's even Wales in there. Now, as somebody who lives in Wales, the very fact that that's in there, because normally it's just England or UK, it's just little tiny things like that that make all the difference to different people that are playing it. And it must take so long to, like, cover all the ground of everything that you've got to put in.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, and you know, Cole brought up the researchers we have, and that's a good point that I neglected to address earlier, that we do have a large kind of, even though it's, you know, just a few people working on the game as far as the coding and all that. And our graphic designer, Daniela, I've got to give her support credit. She works on all our games and our website and everything. And then we've got these researchers. I mean, you know, Out of the Park Baseball has real rosters for all the real teams, major leagues, all the way down through the minors, down through, you know, short A ball, rookie ball, and then the foreign leagues, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, et cetera, in other countries. And, you know, we've got an amazing group of dedicated researchers who put these rosters together, and they pour through all kinds of materials to get stats and other things they need. Because, you know, every player's got his historical stats. Even minor leaguers have historical stats now in the game. That was added, I believe, it was last year. So there's just an amazing wealth of information that's there. And, of course, all their biographical info, their height, weight, all that stuff, birthplace, everything. And it's all thanks to those guys. So, yeah, it's quite an effort to put a lot of that stuff in there. And like you said, you know, we've even got those little details covered. And maybe that helps being, you know, having a European perspective from a guy like Marcus, who's going to, you know, pay attention to those things more than us dumb Americans who just think, oh, England, whatever, Ireland, I don't know, Wales, what are we talking about? You know, we're idiots, I admit it, you know. I get it. But, yeah.
In addition to, I mean, the researchers that Brad mentions, I mean, one amazing thing about Out of the Park Development is the mod community and the community of users of our games that not only play the games but also put ridiculous amounts of hours into creating things that make the game experience better, whether it's real player pictures, team logos, team jerseys, just all these little things that you can easily install into your game, and they make the immersion factor so much deeper. And just for all our games, there's just incredible support from the community that kind of really turns things around and makes the game a lot better for the user.
Awesome. And you know, you mentioned, I mean, it's incredible to, you know, kind of mind-blowing, really, the amount of work and stats and everything else that you can get in these games. But I've known of, say, for instance, with soccer or football in this country, that real scouts will sort of use certain other games to, you know, look at up-and-coming footballers or track their stats. They'll actually use a game as opposed to sort of real life. Have you ever experienced any of that? I mean, real life scouts looking at your, it's almost like a database of everything you could want to know about baseball and hockey. And have you ever known any of that happen?
I have actually. There's a scout, a part-time scout for the Red Sox, who I've talked to, who I've given a copy of the game to. I don't know if he's used it much. You know, he gets busy and I don't really hear much from him. And then I talk to him a little bit. There's definitely a lot of information in there, and there's even a place in the game where you can put down notes and other things. So yeah, you could actually use the game if you're a scout as your database and actually go in. And like I said, you know, we got all the real teams. So some little, you know, A ball team, out in Iowa or whatever is going to have a real roster. And if you're out there scouting those players, you could actually look them all up and even see how we've rated them, if that matters to you. But for a scout, so yeah, I mean, I'd love to get the game into the hands of more people like that. I've heard that Football Manager, you know, does have that element. I think, isn't there a soccer club in the UK that actually uses Football Manager to design tactics and things?
I believe that is true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's crazy, yeah. Isn't it?
yeah, it is. And you know, we do have some fans of the game. Kurt Schilling, who pitched in the big leagues for a long time, is a big fan of out-of-the-park baseball. He actually participates on our forums. And Pat Neshek, a relief pitcher who was with the Cardinals last year, is a fan. There are a couple of guys I've talked to who play minor league baseball who are fans of the game. So there's some of those. There's actually a very prominent person in baseball who I can't name right now who has contacted us and really likes the game. And I'm hoping to do an interview with him and publish it on our blog, and then I can say who it is, but I can't right now. But it was very, it was great to hear from him and what he had to say. And it's not Bud Selig, so that you can rule that name out if you're wondering. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to get the game. I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Marcus was saying that sports management games are so big in Europe, and that's something that's still a learning curve here in the U.S. You know, I've got kids and I go to the school and I talk to other parents, you know, what do you do for a living? We'd have those conversations, and I get a lot of blank looks when I try to explain out-of-the-park baseball and franchise hockey manager to people. It's something that is kind of foreign to a lot of people in the U.S., even for people who are into sports, you know, like they get fantasy football and fantasy baseball and that kind of thing. But it's hard for them to kind of understand what our games do. So we definitely have a learning curve and a need to, I think, try to figure out how to educate people and get them interested in these kinds of games. And we may very well see that filter through the sports and see, you know, perhaps see a scouting director for a big league club actually, you know, have out-of-the-park baseball on his laptop every day and use that in along with other things. I'd love to see that us get to that point someday.
And this has been your long, obviously, out-of-the-park baseball's your longest running franchise. How has it changed over the years? What have been the main changes?
You know, there have been tons of them. You know, it's funny because last year we actually released a free copy of Out of the Park 1, which is actually hard to even get running on modern computers. It's kind of funny. There were people on our forum talking about, you know, use this emulator, that emulator. I mean, Marcus couldn't even, I don't think he could get it running on his computer, which is kind of funny, but so much has changed. But yeah, I mean, people were posting some screenshots from it on our forum, and it was very simple back then. It was, you know, much more like, you know, people have played Strat-O-Matic, you know, the dice and card game, and you know, kind of the simplicity of that. It was obviously a management game. You can manage your team and your roster and all that, but it didn't have a lot of the bells and whistles. And it's changed a lot. I mean, every year we have a whole raft of new features for Out of the Park. You know, FHM and the football game will be the same way in the years to come. There's always a whole raft of new features that we put in the game on top of, you know, the new rosters. And like this year, the Major League Baseball license is the big thing, but we've got other, you know, really cool stuff for this year too. So, I mean, it's changed a lot. I mean, I know people who on our forum who are longtime players of the game will talk all the time about, you know, how they've been there since version 3 or 4 and how much it's changed and evolved and how different it is. I mean, I guess it's almost like if you have kids, you know, I've got a kid who's 23, and, you know, it's kind of amazing to think about the changes that have happened over 23 years. But when it's happening, you don't notice it, right? It's all incremental. And then one day you look at, you know, now, and then you look at a photo from 10 years ago and go, wow, this is really a big change. So, yeah, it's hard. I'm not going to sit there and list everything that we've done in the game, but there's, you know, it's grown quite a bit over the years.
One big change as well, you've embraced mobile gaming.
Yeah. So IOTP Baseball first came out in 2011. So that Sebastian Palkowski, who's also the lead developer on Franchise Hockey Manager, he's the lead developer on the mobile game. And you know what he and Marcus did was they just sat down and they went through Out of the Park Baseball literally screen by screen and just said, what do we need to keep? What do we need to toss? Because the whole idea of the mobile game is it's a much simpler, much more stripped down experience. You know, there aren't a lot of those little bells and whistles and other things and all that immersion. But that's because it's designed for, you know, a much simpler experience. You know, maybe you got a few minutes in line while you're waiting somewhere, or you got your iPad. I mean, I've played it on my iPad in bed at night or something. It's kind of fun to just do that for a little bit, and you can kind of get through some seasons quickly and have some fun with it. So then this year it's going to be renamed MLB Manager. Thanks to the license, that game will be licensed as well, and we're adding Android. So We were on iOS the last few years, and now we'll be on Android as well. And that game, you know, always adds some new features every year. This year is no different. But, you know, the goal is it almost to be kind of like an entry point for people who maybe don't really know much about these kinds of games. I mean, it's only $5. For $5, you can pick it up and try it out and see how you like it. And if that, you know, if you enjoy it, then the whole idea is, okay, well, here's the big thing. You know, here's the big game. Here's the one if you really want to run a team and do everything. Here you go. Here's the computer game. So that's kind of how we position it.
It must be. Sorry, Chris, go on.
So you mentioned it's going to be officially licensed this year. And so how was that difficult? Or was, you know, is it you kind of constantly on the phone to people say, oh, you know, can we've got this fantastic game and we'd really love you to, so, you know, put your name on it. So how difficult or easy was that?
You know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't as bad as people might think it could be. You know, certainly when you're dealing with a large entity like Major League Baseball. You know, Marcus started discussions with them last year. We were always kind of off their radar a bit, but then they approached us, and he said, okay, well, let's have a conversation about this. And it went pretty well. It went pretty smoothly. He signed a contract over the winter, and the terms were not, you know, were pretty good, so, you know, we have to get everything reviewed by them. They'll have to review the game, both games, and you know, even things like our newsletters and other materials have to be reviewed by them as well. But they've been really good to work with, and the week that we made the announcement, they even set aside some things they were dealing with so they could review our screenshots and our newsletter and our press release and everything else we were doing to make sure we could hit that, you know, hit that target of last Friday to go live with everything and start pre-orders. So they've been good. It's been a great experience so far.
How long does it take for each iteration of the game to be developed then? I mean, you've got the new version coming out soon. When does work start on the next version? Because you must obviously be getting feedback from like forum members and people that are playing the game saying, well, can you change this? Can you add that ready for the next version? What sort of rollover have you got from one version to the next?
Yeah, I mean, we always have that feedback. We've got a pretty good group of beta testers. So again, another great dedicated group of volunteers who kind of put the game through its paces and kind of kick the tires and make sure things are working properly and file bug reports and all that. And then once it gets out to the wider public, you know, we get feedback. And, you know, of course, we take suggestions. Marcus takes every suggestion to heart. And, you know, if he can implement something, he will. We usually do a series of updates. We'll do several. Our updates are always free. So we'll do several updates throughout the baseball season. And, you know, we'll not only fix bugs, but we'll also add, you know, Marcus is always good about adding little things to the game throughout that, even just a button that lets you do this or changing the way something is presented or whatever. Lots of little stuff. And that usually carries through about September or so toward the end of the baseball season. And even before that, you know, he's kind of thinking about the next version and trying to get his features list together. And so usually heading into the fall, in the September, October timeframe is when really things start really ramping up. He starts kind of finalizing his features, and then, you know, the coding starts in earnest, you know, throughout the winter. And, you know, we're in the beta period right now. The beta just started this past Monday. We've got, you know, our internal, like I said, our beta team. It's a closed beta, but so they've got the game now, and I've got a copy of it and been running it and checking things out. So then we're going to ship in March. So we've got, you know, basically around 2 months or so to kind of kick the tires and make sure everything's working right before it goes out. So I'd say all told, five, 6 month process to get the next version out. And then, you know, during the baseball season, you know, put out the updates and keep going.
Mm-hmm. I've got to say, as well, as a Mac user, I'm so glad that you support Mac. Which a lot don't, which is surprising too.
I know. I'm on a Mac as well, so I'm glad as well that we do that. And actually, the game is even out on Linux. So for any Linux users out there, you can pick up Out of the Park Baseball that way too.
So we've had Out of the Park Baseball was there from the very beginning. So Cole, when did the Franchise Hockey Manager begin?
I'd almost pass that back to Brad as well, because he was the guy. I'm brand new at this spot, so he can kind of talk more about the origins of that, because he was still in that position when that first version rolled out. So Brad, why don't you take that away?
Yeah, so we shipped the first version of FHM September of 2013. We actually put out the game for pre-orders at previous March, and the whole idea was you could pre-order it and then download the beta and basically play around with it and give us feedback and all that stuff if you wanted to, until the final version came out that September. And then, you know, work on the game obviously was going on in 2012. We brought in Jeff Riddles as the producer on the game. He's in Vancouver, huge hockey fan, the kind of guy who'll go watch, minor league guys play and that kind of thing. He loves hockey. So, and he's also a project lead, I guess, on Out of the Park Baseball, kind of wrangling our beta team and keeping them in line and all that. And so, yeah, 2012, it was Sebastian and his programming partner, Malta Schwartz, had been working on the game on their own for a while, and then brought it to Marcus and presented it to him, and he liked it. And there had been a void in that market. I guess you guys probably know about East Side Hockey Manager, which SI had published for a while, and the last version of that was in 2007. And once that went away, it kind of left that big void there for people wanting to play that kind of game. So Marcus saw an opportunity to step in and make something happen there.
And another point on that end is Jeff Riddles actually used to work on East Side Hockey Manager as well.
Right.
So. Kind of right, the game that everyone used to hold up as kind of the premier hockey sim. I mean, one of our developers was on the front lines for that game as well.
Yeah, good point, Cole. Yeah, he did.
Well, that's good then, isn't it, to have that continuation through from that franchise into this one as well?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, because Jeff, you know, has a lot of understanding of how things work there and kind of what worked, what didn't work, and can apply those lessons here. So that's been pretty good. And then Francis Cole, who's our Beyond the Sideline football guy, who's actually in the UK. I'm the sole American in a company that's very, very US focused in our sports, but go figure. He's in the UK, and he used to work on Football Manager at SI. So we definitely have that background of a lot of the people in the company.
You mentioned that obviously it's quite US-centric or North American, you know, with baseball and hockey and American football. And have you got any kind of, have you obviously, as Marcus, thought about the sort of more European sports, sort of like, you know, football, shall we say, or soccer, or any other sports? Have you thought about getting into any of those, like maybe basketball or, I mean, obviously Football Manager, you mentioned earlier on, is, I suppose, in some ways kind of corners the market in this country, I suppose, to a certain extent. But you, as you know, there's Pro Evolution Soccer and there's FIFA, and they kind of coexist in the same universe, shall we say. And my own personal opinion is that I think that that's healthy, because they push each other, you know, to kind of bring out the best possible product that they can each year. So, I mean, have you guys given that any thought or consideration?
Yeah, I would say soccer is pretty much ruled out for us. We're pretty friendly. Marcus is pretty friendly with the SI guys, and I don't think he'd ever want to kind of step on that turf. They do a great job with their game, and I agree, of course, you know, competition's healthy, but I think in that regard, we're probably happy to let other developers kind of jockey with FM. And as far as other sports go, sure. I mean, the blanket statement we put out there is that if there's someone out there who wants to do a game, I've had plenty of people ask if we're going to do a basketball game or other sports, even rugby or whatever. And his comment is always that if someone out there has got a game, you know, you have to have a development background. I mean, if you're ready to actually execute on what you want to do, if you've got, let's say, a basketball sim you want to make, and you've got a team that can work with you on it, or you've got the ability to execute on that, you know, we're happy to hear a pitch and see what you have to offer. And then, you know, we may take that game on.
Can you tell the listeners as well a little bit about the release dates and what they can expect from the new versions of Out of the Park Baseball and Franchise Hockey Manager that are both out this year as well?
Yeah, so with Out of the Park 16 and MLB Manager 2015, they're shipping in March. We're not giving a specific date right now, but you know, I know opening day, I think, is what, April 5th or something like that. So I'm guessing a week or two ahead of opening day, but we're still kind of, you know, still working on the games, but we're expecting to ship them in March. And then, of course, you know, they won't have the final roster, not necessarily the final rosters, but we'll do a quick update as soon as we can to finalize all the opening day rosters. And then I'll let Cole speak to FHM.
There's actually not a defined timeline release for our next version, FHM 2. It's actually going to be called FHM 2 to kind of bring it more in line with the Out of the Park 15, 16, et cetera, naming. So at this point, the programmer, Sebastian and company, want to just ensure that the game is going to be stable and is going to do everything that they want it to, and that everything is going to be kind of well running before they can kind of commit to a release date. So at this point, it is going to be out in 2015, but there's no specific date. And actually, the next thing on the list is a final patch for FHM 2014. And that's actually going to feature something that we're pretty excited about, which is the new match engine, the kind of first version of the new match engine. And the big thing about that was that the match engine in 2014 was, it created a good game of hockey and simulated good stats and whatnot, but Sebastian and the developers just didn't think it kind of was as fun as it could have been or was as immersive. So mm-hmm. We've kind of got an outline here. I mean, there's a whole new rewritten engine. It's completely different, and it's going to be much more complex, and it simulates kind of every second of the game, and it always kind of keeps track of where every player is located, recording every pass, every movement, every event, and kind of displayed as text. So it's quite a complex thing, and they've been plugging away at that for quite some time now. So that's going to be kind of featured in a patch for FHM 2014, and then a more refined version of it for for FHM 2 when that releases. So in terms of timelines, we don't have any direct ones, but news is expected to be coming soon, and Sebastian is supposed to be releasing a timeline shortly. So that's where we are on that.
I've got to ask as well, I haven't had a chance to play FHM yet, but the first thing I think of when I think of hockey is fighting. Is the fighting in it? Does it even simulate down to that? Do fights break out?
Yeah, there's no obviously pictures of fights, but yeah, everything that's in a real hockey game is in our game too, so it's all there from all the penalties and goals and everything else.
Wow. And of course, go on, Chris.
I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned that obviously it will simulate the game, and I'm assuming it does all that, you know, based on all the statistics and everything else of the players. And I'm just curious because we have over here the FA Cup with soccer, and most recently there were some big upsets. One of the bigger teams, so was Chelsea and Man City. They were knocked out by lower league teams, in particular Chelsea, with like the team that knocked them out were two leagues below them. And I'm just kind of curious as to how you factor in that, because sports is so unpredictable at times. You know, you can get the underdogs and they will have no chance in hell, but will somehow overcome all the odds and beat the team that's expected to win. And how do you factor that into a game like this? You know, do you have those kind of upsets? And if so, then how do you sort of like factor in the sort of like the frustration of that? Because, you know, like I say, if I'm managing a team and they're top of the league, they've got all the best players, all the best stats, etc., but then I lose to somebody at a lower league, it's like, no, the game's cheating. You know, do you sort of like factor that in and balance the frustration?
No, I think that's a lot of the fun, really. I mean, we actually have people complain all the time about these great teams they put together in our games that end up kind of blowing it in the playoffs. But, you know, in my mind, that happens in real sports, that happens in real life, and that's, you know, it's well modeled in the game. I mean, I can't claim to be a developer and know how that's all put together and how it goes, but I mean, I know there's no cheat codes. It just kind of works out the way it does. But simulating FHM, I mean, I've seen like a low seeded team go through and win the cup and upset top seeded teams. And, you know, you see all the same stuff that you see in real sports. So, you know, that's part of the excitement to me. I mean, whether you're the one managing that low seeded team and kind of making it all the way to the Stanley Cup, or whether you're the one with that stacked roster that, frustratingly needs one more piece or just falls apart in the playoffs. I mean, that's a great part of our game and really helps the immersion, I find. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got to say as well, in this age of like AAA games and graphics rule, in all honesty, my most anticipated game of this year is Beyond the Sidelines. This is the game I have been waiting for. And we talked earlier on, you mentioned it, Chris, about having, with like FIFA and Pro Evo and having that competition, which used to be Madden, used to have a good sort of head coach style game within it. And I think it's 2K Games, they did NFL 2K5, for me, was the last sort of management style NFL game that was really good. And then Madden since has dropped it. So since the announcement, and there are other, I've tried other head coach style games online, but none have caught my attention like everything that Beyond the Sidelines is promising. Can you please tell us and the listeners whatever you can about what we can expect from Beyond the Sidelines?
Yeah, Beyond the Sideline Football will ship sometime this year. We're hoping to go into beta, you know, so, and maybe in a few months we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you'll get the when it ships, you'll have that current NFL season with all 32 teams with their, you know, real players and up to date rosters. We'll have about a decade's worth of stats, I think, in there for all the players. And no historical play yet, or I'm not sure about online, but no historical, and we won't have any other leagues. We won't have, you know, the CFL is very different from the NFL in a lot of its rules. So, you know, some people think, oh, they have the CFL, plays the Toronto Argonauts or something, but they have a lot of different rules. So you could almost argue we'd need a different game for that. But for now, it's just the NFL. You will be able to create fictional leagues. So you could have, you know, your own American Football League in England or just about any other country. The colleges, you know, the American Division I colleges will be in there, just non-playable, but they'll produce players for the draft. So you can, and we'll have the players who are expected to be drafted for that that upcoming year will be in there. And it'll be pretty much like, you know, like our other games. I mean, you'll be able to call the shots on the sidelines and run your plays, or let an AI head coach kind of take that over for you. We'll have a 2D match engine in there, so it'll be, I don't know if it'll be X's and O's or squares and circles or something, but you'll actually see the play run out and see what happens there. And then, you know, it's going to have everything else, all the news stories that the games generate, and all the decisions you have to make. You want to trade guys, you want to assign guys to extensions. You know, you look at the situation the Colts faced when they moved on from Peyton Manning and drafted Andrew Luck, and, you know, you could certainly end up having to deal with your own situation at QB. So yeah, it'll have all that stuff in there, and it'll have the stats and everything else, and hopefully maybe even some of the more advanced stats too.
Because it's great. I love these type of ones where you can just sit as the head coach and sit and call the plays. I have a good friend of mine, he's totally addicted to these type of games as well. And you mentioned you don't know about the online side of it yet, but I know for me personally, the perfect scenario would be I can play as the Steelers, he can play as the Lions, and then the other teams are just AI, so we can play online and we can control our teams, and it's AI controls the others. But I think this is one of the beauty of these type of games, is the way that year on year that you can keep adding stuff into it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole goal. I mean, that's the plan with FHM. You know, FHM 2 will build on the first one and add a lot of new features, and Beyond the Sideline Football will be the same way. I mean, the whole idea is to start with a solid foundation, you know, going to kind of have modern day, the current, you know, NFL season work properly. We'll have historical eventually. As football fans know, you know, the NFL was very different, you know, in decades past. So, you know, the whole goal with that is that, you know, when you play historical, you want the stats to be reflect that. I mean, in the baseball game, we do everything we can when you play historically to kind of have the stats reflect, you know, those eras, you know, like the late 60s when pitchers became very dominant, or the days of the home run hitters in the 90s. You know, that'll be the goal with the Beyond the Sideline Football. Once we had historical, is to really reflect a greater emphasis on the running game, like they had at one time, or You know, you don't want guys back in the 50s and 60s to be putting up, you know, 4,000 yard passing seasons and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's got to be realistic. Believe me, we'll hear about it if that kind of thing happens. So we've got the forum going for Beyond the Silent Football, and we've had a lot of people on there chatting about it and asking questions. Francis Cole has been great at answering questions on there and talking to people.
What about you? You've got them, we've mentioned as well, on iOS and Android incoming too. What about mobile gaming devices like the Sony Vita as well? Has there been any talk about anything like that? Because I think it would fit in perfectly with the Vita, people carrying it around.
Yeah, I guess it could. We haven't really talked about the Vita. That hasn't really come up. Every so often, you know, we've been asked, will you, you know, put the game on the PlayStation or Xbox? And generally speaking, we just don't see that really being viable, you know, remapping the whole, all the inputs to a controller. And I don't know if you want to use a controller to play our game. I know you can connect, you know, keyboards and mice to those consoles. But also, you know, do you want to sit there and play Out of the Park Baseball on your 50-inch high-def TV? I don't know if, you know, I don't know if that's really, you know, necessarily the optimal experience. I kind of feel like you want to play Call of Duty on your high-def TV and then go, you know, maybe into your on your laptop to play Out of the Park or FHM or whatever. So as far as the Vita goes, you know, honestly, that hasn't really come up. We've really been focused on iOS and now adding Android. And you know, we're always asked about mobile versions of the other games. And a mobile version of Cole might know more about this, might have a little bit more of a more recent take on this. But I know that if we do a mobile version of FHM, it'll be a couple years from now. We're kind of focused on the computer side right now with that.
Yeah, no, that's the same information I have. I mean, the focus is on the computer aspect, so that's off in the distance for a project, but definitely in the future.
Have you experienced any kind of difficulty in terms of iOS, because there's so many free to play games on there that it kind of almost it takes up the store, you know, and it's so difficult to find anything. And a lot of the time, the mentality that I find is that people, if it's not free, they think, okay, I'm just going to totally disregard that. Which, have you experienced those issues, or have you got, like I said, a huge fan base already in terms of, and there's an appetite for this game on the mobile platforms?
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced some of that. I do remember seeing a tweet a year or two ago from someone who said he bought our game, but, you know, on principle, he didn't normally buy anything more than 99 cents, but he sprang the $5 for our game. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I appreciated him buying the game, of course, and I hope he's enjoyed it and is a fan. It was just a comment I saw on social media, but yeah, I mean, there is some of that, and we've never really wanted to go down that route. A lot of those free-to-play games, you know, my kids play those. I'm always going, okay, sure, put that one on the iPad or whatever, and then, of course, it's always like, oh, buy 500 gems for $10, you know, all that kind of stuff, and we don't want to do that at all. We don't want to ever do a free-to-play game where it's like, and now pay us $10 so you can do this. I just never, ever want to do that. You know, we do have with the mobile game, with the baseball game, we do have the historical seasons that you can buy. We usually have three of them for free, and then you can buy others. So we do that as an in-app purchase. But, you know, given the casual nature of it, you know, there are people who simmed decades and decades on the computer side, and on the mobile side, you know, most I've ever gone, I think, is 10 years or something with the team. So, but as far as, you know, our fan base, I mean, you know, I really work with not only game sites, you know, sites that cover iOS gaming, but also a lot of baseball sites that write about our games. And so we get a lot of exposure for the mobile game that way. And I think that's a good route, because a lot of those people really, you know, they see the value in it. They see the value of $5 for a game like that. They see that as worthwhile, and they head straight to the App Store and buy it. I don't know if we get a lot of kind of accidental discovery anymore on the App Store. We do get featured pretty much every year. Apple will give us a little bit of spotlighting, which helps. And I imagine this year with the license, we may get even more spotlighting. They may, you know, lump us in there with some of the MLB apps, I'm hoping. you know, with some of the more official things, since we'll have that, and that'll help with the discovery. But I don't really rely on people just doing searches and stumbling across our game, because like you said, it's, I mean, what are there, how many hundreds, how many crazy amount of games there are now on iOS? But it's just, yeah, it's easier to go the other route, to kind of expose people other ways.
Yeah, and I think ultimately the cream will rise to the top, because and your game is so well reviewed, and like you've mentioned that you've got a really fantastic fan base, and it's a nice way, it's a nice inroad for people to get into the game. And Dave, you mentioned that you've been really enjoying it as well. So
I'd also like to know from you guys as well, apart from Out of the Park and FHM, what video games do you play?
I have to admit, I don't play a whole lot anymore. I used to play more. I used to actually write content for Apple's website and write a lot about Mac games, which is how I connected with these guys, because we featured Out of the Park Baseball on there. And I'll confess, I don't play as much anymore. I did play around with RBI Baseball a little bit on iOS, which I admittedly was not a huge fan of. And what else do I play? Geez, I don't know. I actually like playing like old Atari games and stuff sometimes, which is kind of funny, I guess. Old Activision games. I was playing Spider Fighter last night on my iPhone. So I do that. I've got a son who's a huge Minecraft fan. He does a lot of Minecraft, and I'll mess around with him on that. But with family and kids and everything, I don't get as much into big RPGs or big first person shooters that take a long time to kind of work your way through. I used to play Madden Football way back when, and other games.
Mm-hmm. I have a PS3, but I'm similar to Brad with family. I don't really have as much time these days to play it, and not to sound too much like a company shill, but definitely the games I've played the most are over the past several years. Out of the Park and Pacific, as I mentioned, I've been playing that for over a decade, obviously, so that's one. But I mean, MLB The Show, Madden, NHL, hockey, like all those. I'm a sports gamer more than anything else.
Yeah.
In terms of text games, there's another good one, World of Mixed Martial Arts by Grey Dog Software. That's another company kind of similar to ours, but that's a martial arts kind of text game of sorts. So.
Oh, I don't know about that one. I'll have to write that one down. That's piqued my interest.
There you go.
But this is good about these, though, isn't it? It's, you can sink hours into it. And the hundreds of hours I've sunk into like the likes of Head Coach and the ones we've mentioned before. And it just keeps giving you something different all the time. That's the beauty of these games. You know, nothing ever seems to repeat. There's all different scenarios that keep happening all the time. And it gives as much as you can put into it, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I've on FHM with our new version, I've done kind of a 10-year sim in the NHL, and just kind of neat. I was just commissioner. I didn't take on a team, so I was just kind of simulating and watching it take over, and saw different stuff, like Alex Ovechkin played for till age 39, I think, and he ended up, I have it here, he ended up with 801 goals, which tied him for third all time.
Oh,
wow. He had just maybe been able to play one more year, he might have been able to, or a couple more years, I guess, been able to catch Gretzky at 894, and unfortunately played all those years at the Capitals, and they never won a Stanley Cup, so his loyalty was not rewarded. But then I have Steven Stamkos in that same sim, and I think he's at 794, but he's still only, he's got a few years left, so I think he actually might catch Gretzky for the all-time goal scoring title. So that's just stuff like that. I mean, just seeing worlds explore, and you get so deep into them and get so kind of emotionally invested. That's what I've always loved about our games.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the whole hook of everything that we've talked about is how emotionally invested you get into these games. You do just sink yourself into it and go into this other world, which is the beauty of them, and why I've always loved them so much.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, one thing I always like to say is that when you start a new league in any of our games, I mean, you're basically setting a whole world into motion. I mean, there's just so much going on, and there's a whole AI, and the players have personalities and attitudes about things, and you can, certainly in the baseball game, I mean, I got into a bidding war once to get signed Randy Johnson to the Phillies, and You know, and some guys are easier to sign, some guys are harder, and you've got to deal with other GMs, you know, who might tell you to get lost if you try to offer a lopsided deal in your favor. So there's just so much there to explore and see, like Cole was saying, and there's so many cool leagues. I mean, I wrote a post on our blog for people to check it out. It's blog.otpdevelopments.com, and I recently wrote one about Tolkien Baseball League. So it's got all these teams based on the Lord of the Rings, and the cool thing is that he took the names file in the game and he edited it so it only produces dwarvish, elvish names, etc. You know, so all the names that are produced, you know, sound like something out of Lord of the Rings books. And it's an online league. It's been around for several years now, and they just keep going and going. So there's so much cool stuff that people do with our games, and it's just fun to watch.
Well, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned kind of the getting to play against your buddy thing, and I think, you know, a lot of our players are online players too, and that's, you know, Out of the Park Baseball has had online capability for a number of versions, and one of the things with FHM2 that we're really excited about as well is kind of the introduction of kind of a basic online thing as well, so we'll start to see those formations of the online leagues, and that's, you know, playing the AI is one thing, but when you're challenging an opponent and, you know, you're having trade talks. I mean, I'm in an online league with Out of the Park where we have winter meetings, and, you know, it's essentially as dorky as it sounds, sitting 6 hours in a chat room. And I remember one time I had to tell my wife that, you know, it was okay that I sat those 6 hours in the chat room because I made four trades and I improved my starting rotation. So, but, I mean, it's stuff like that. I'm really excited on the FHM side to get some online leagues going because I think a lot of our sim players do like that aspect of, you know, not just playing against the AI, but playing against other human beings. So that's going to a big benefit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to throw in a funny story that it's kind of Cole sparked. There's a pro wrestler named Steve Carino who's a big Out of the Park Baseball fan, and he plays our game a lot. I did an interview with him for our site as well, and he was telling me about how and he travels a lot. You know, as a wrestler, he goes around to tournaments and, you know, do stuff. He's like WWE kind of wrestling. He's a great guy though. He loves baseball and he's pretty cool. And so he plays Out of the Park Baseball on his laptop and he travels, and he said he texted his wife at like 2 a.m. once and told her, I got fired. And she thought, what, you got fired like from your, like the wrestling thing? Like what's going on? No, I got fired by the Phillies. The Phillies fired me. I can't believe it. I'm so mad. He was furious. The Phillies fired him.
That's it. These games do get you like that though, don't they? You can, I know in the past playing them, I've been up off my seat. You know, there's been a last minute touchdown against me, or, you know, someone's hit a home run in a baseball game. It's, no, this can't happen.
Right.
And then you just catch yourself. You think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm back in the real world again now.
Right.
Oh, well, listen, Guy, we're coming up to the end of the hour. I think what we should do is you've got to tell the listeners all the ways that they can find and follow you online, be it the website, any sort of social media, all the links that you're going to give us now. I'll make sure that they're in the podcast notes as well. So, yeah, please tell the listeners where all their online ways that they can find you.
Yeah, they can go to ootpdevelopments.com to find all our games. On Twitter, we are at OOTPBaseball, at FranchiseHockey, and at BTSFootball. And then Facebook is facebook.com/OOTPBaseball and then /FranchiseHockey. And then I actually have a Facebook page reserved for BTSFootball, but we haven't quite gone live with it yet. Some people have actually found it and liked it, which is kind of funny. I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know. But we just haven't quite, you know, gone live with that yet. But we will be.
That's brilliant.
Oh yeah, Brad, our the Facebook actually for Franchise Hockey is Franchise Hockey Manager. Facebook.com/FranchiseHockeyManager.
Hey, I created that. I should have known. So thanks for catching that.
You know everything else. I'll just take that one fact. That's
okay. Thanks. Please tell Marcus I screwed that up.
Well, he'll hear it for himself, hopefully.
Yeah. He will. That's true. He'll listen. You're fired. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and please keep us up to date with everything that's going on, because I'm just so interested in these games. And I'm sure you, Chris, you're going to be dipping into these now.
Absolutely. I'm going to go off and buy the iOS version after we've finished doing this show.
Right, Chris, how did you find that? A double interview with two great guys.
Yeah, brilliant. They're just like really nice guys and very open. And that hour just flew by for me personally. And got to ask some questions that I was curious about in terms of how the games are and how they work. And got to take my hat off to Marcus and all the people that are involved with making them, because they just... It just blows my mind, you know, the amount of work and statistics and everything that's in them. They're amazing, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And as game players as well, you know, obviously we enjoy playing video games, but it's always good to get an insight into the background and, you know, the making of them and how they evolve, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they were great, you know, like I said, just really nice guys. And hopefully, you know, people will check out the games. Because they sound great, you know, like I said, and I'll no doubt be feeding back on the baseball game out the park when I've played a little bit of it on the iOS, and I'll feed back about that on the same coin at some point.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, they gave us all the details about how you can find and follow them online. Chris, if you want to give the listeners how people can follow you on Twitter.
Yes, I'm at DastardlyJabby.
And you can follow me and the show at 60 Minutes With, that's with a 6 and a 0. You can also go to Facebook, it's facebook.com/60MinutesWith, again with a 6 and a 0. As I keep saying, the website and email isn't coming very, very soon, so keep your eyes open for that. And thank you for listening, and thank you, Chris, for joining me on this interview. It's been great having my wingman on an interview show.
It's been a pleasure, honestly it has.
All right, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again very soon.